Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
We have merch. Check out the AmericanGlutton.net shop. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. A number of people have come up to me wearing American Glutton merch, and nothing fills my heart with more pride than seeing somebody in one of these t-shirts. And I've been stopped on the street and asked where to get it when somebody sees me in an American Glutton hoodie. Well, you can get it all at the shop on AmericanGlutton.net. And my favorite t-shirt, Yesterday It Was Tomorrow, Right Now, is up now. Get it while supplies last.
Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment. Food as sport. Food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me.
I hate to ask you to do anything, but if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, review, all of the above on whatever app you're getting it from. Today on the show, I'm talking to my old pal, Jason Mewes. Jason is an actor, and man, we go back almost 30 years. Please enjoy our conversation. Jason Mewes, welcome to the American Glutton podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me, man. Seriously, it's an honor. It's great to, you know, I know you've been doing this and I've listened to some of them and I enjoy it. And I was like, I want to be part of this. He's had Kevin on there. What about me?
Yeah,
goddamn. I'm just kidding.
We talk a lot on here about diet and exercise and fitness and health and stuff like that. But we also talk about sobriety, and that's something you and I have in common. And I would love to get into that with you. And listen, anything you go like, I don't want my kids hearing that. We don't have to talk about it, or we can edit it out. Completely up to you. You and I have been sober for a while, and we also have used drugs in the past. We also have used drugs together in the past.
Yeah.
So we go way back, you and I, and I'm like excited and fascinated to talk to you about all this.
Me too. It's funny because it is something that you and I haven't really spoke about since we've both been sober and all that, because we see each other. We don't get to see each other as much as I'd like. We both, you know, we have our families and work and stuff, but, when we see each other, it's not like the first thing we're like, hey, blah, 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 blah. So it is the perfect opportunity because we've never really, you know, got into it. And there's a story. I don't even know if I've ever told the story, cause you know, and again, there's nothing I don't want to talk about. I'll talk about everything and I'm not worried about anything. I've told a portion of my stories and stuff. But I believe there's a story I've never told that I think this would be the perfect one.
Let's do it.
You want me to do it? And we don't have to, we could do it now. We could do it. But it's something that I always remember. And if you want, I'll get right into it. Yeah.
No.
Oh, no, wait. Well, wait. Okay.
Set it up. We can set it up. We can draw it out a little bit.
I like it.
I love that you haven't told this story, and I'm intrigued to hear the story too.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'll set it up this way is, and I'm not just saying this because, you know, it's I'm on here with you and stuff, but what stands out to me, really stands out to me, many, many years ago when we did Mallrats, you know, Ethan and I met on Mallrats. Well, we met at the auditions.
Right.
But then we got to know each other on the movie. And what I thought was so awesome is that of everybody there, you and I kept in touch. And every time, like I would have to come back to, I lived in Jersey still. Sorry, let me set that up. I lived in Jersey still. So still LA to me was like this huge city and it was a beautiful and amazing California. And I'd have to come back for different things, whether it's like some ADR or whatever it might've been. I know I would come back multiple times. And then the cartoon. But every time I'd come back, I would let you know I was coming. And Ethan was always offered to pick me up from the airport. And he'd always cruise me around. He'd always pick me up, drive me around, made me feel super welcome, introduced me to a bunch of his friends, his family. I got to meet his whole family, his sister, mom and dad, and let me stay there a couple times. And I just thought that was awesome. It meant a lot to me back then, still now.
Yeah.
But I remember that then it meant so much back then, because again, like you get, remember I'm a 20, whatever, 21 year old Jersey kid who doesn't know anything about California. And when I came out, you always made me feel welcome and always showed me around and just made it.
Nice. I want to say for context too, it is weird the business we're in. And I think you and Kevin were kind of like outsiders in a way, just where you were just like people who were like, no, I got to know this person and we're friends. And that means we're friends for good. Mm-hmm. Where in Hollywood, you know, you do a job with somebody and you have a strong affinity for them. And then like, you maybe never see them again or never talk to them again. You know, like we're kind of carnival workers in that way. So I think it is semi-typical to like go away, do a movie with somebody for months and months and months, and then you just don't talk, you know, unless you're working with them again. And that's what I loved about you is you and I became legitimate friends.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And it is. It's like, especially because, like you said, you spend sometimes 2-3. And again, I've never gone, I don't think more than 3 months, but some people do movies for 6 months, whatever. And you spend all this time with somebody and you get pretty close at the time. But then, yeah, as soon as the movie's done, you go back home, you get back to your life and you don't talk to them. So, and that's happened with me with a bunch of other cast members and stuff. But you and I stayed in touch and I always thought that was awesome. And like I said, you introduced me to your family. And brought me around. I remember this isn't the story I was talking about, but one story was so memorable is you brought me this place, the Formosa. and I remember we were cruising there and everything seemed so big to me. Like you'd pick me up from the airport and I swear in my head, it seemed like 2 hours to get to your house. And then we'd go to from your house to the Formosa and that seemed like an hour. And I just remember everything seemed so big and so long, where now I've been here long enough and I know everything. But and we get to the Formosa and I remember we walk in and you introduced me to like everybody you were friends with, acquaintances with, whoever. And it was just awesome because now all of a sudden I'm hanging over with all these people. And the most random thing is I'm sitting there and you're like, hey, this is my friend Leonardo. This is my friend Toby. And this is my friend so-and-so. And then sitting next to them in a booth is a girl from my high school. Really? I went to elementary and high school with her. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty madness, but yeah, her name was Chrissy. And I couldn't believe it because it seemed so random. Someone from Highlands, New Jersey just happened to be in this bar, or it was like a bar restaurant in California. But it was such a great time and it was awesome. And again, that's just one time, but that one stands out to me because I feel like that's probably the first time you brought me out to like, you know, hang with some friends and do some stuff and things.
And there was somebody awesome. From your hometown. That's insane.
And that, yes. And yeah. It was such a wild thing where I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm meeting all these new people. I see a friend of mine in this place. But anyway, I always remember you showing me around, bringing me around in the Apollo, which was great, dude.
I'm so sad I got rid of that car. I've actually looked at buying one today and they're still really expensive. Yeah. I mean, I should have just kept the one I had. That car was an awesome.
How long did you have that?
I had it for a long time. I probably had it for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it just, for a long time, it just sat in my garage. I got another car and I just didn't get rid of that. And then finally I was just like, I can't store a car. I have to get rid of it. Yeah. I wish I hadn't. It's such a sweet car.
It was awesome. And it was like then too, we'd listen. It was great, dude. So, but yeah, always fun, always good. And then, but again, and back then too, it was right. That was, I feel like the first few times I came out, I was still sober. I wasn't sober, but I wasn't like deep into the drugs.
We hadn't gone off the deep end yet.
Yeah, no. So, so it was still made it fun because I could go out and not focused on finding stuff where, you know, cut to years later. I remember you picking me up and not, you know, I don't want to share that things are happening, but I think eventually then I just wind up like getting sick and breaking down and being like, yo, man, I know this is a crazy question, but do you know where I could get any, which was, you know, it sucked, but anyway. That these are little pieces I remember. I feel like when I started using, man, honestly, like so many things, I'd be so messed up all the time that I'd either be sick hunting down drugs, or I was really messed up and like things are a blank. Like I remember pieces, like I remember staying at this hotel right by the Beverly Center and like calling you and being like, oh, I'm sick, man. Is there do you know anybody? And you're like, oh, not really. It's like, anyway, so, but I don't know, again, on your perspective, what you sort of, when you remember
the first time you were strung out or the first time we were strung out same time?
No. Well, I think the first time, because I feel like I can't remember if the hotel was the first time I sort of shared with you straight up. I mean, you might have known. Again, in the beginning, I remember thinking no one knows, even though I'd be sitting there and I'd be like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I just thought no one knew. I was keeping it undercover. And I feel like the hotel might have been the first time I wind up being like calling you and being like, look, I'm just going to be honest. I'm sick. I want to come hang out and stuff. But this is the deal and stuff. So,
yeah, it does get weird to that point. I do remember that time. I couldn't put a year on it, but I do remember that time and feeling like, you know, it was like a sick person who needed medicine, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It gets that way. It's interesting because people who don't go through it, don't know when you're like, I don't feel good and I need this. It's like, I remember Kevin used to not get it. And he'd be like, bro, why don't you just stop? Like, just go through it. Like just don't do it today and tomorrow and the next day and next day. And even if you feel a little crappy, you'll get over it. And you will get over it. Eventually you physically start to feel better, but the extent of how you feel is miserable. It's like,
you know, when we get sick with a cold or a flu or something and we feel awful, which pales in comparison, I think, to being dope sick, but there's this, like, you know, you've done it before, so you realize this feeling isn't going to last forever. Even if you wake up in the middle of one night and can't sleep, you're so sick, you know, like, well, I'm going to get better. This is not like tomorrow morning I'll feel better, or the next day after that I'll feel better. And there is a difference with opiates, I think, where they steal that horizon from you. That horizon does not exist. There isn't like 3 days from now, this feeling will go away. That feeling is just omnipresent and is going to be with you for a long time.
Yeah. And the difference, I feel like when you're sick, I feel like when I'm sick, you're sick, you have a flu, the cold, whatever, you feel like crap. But the thing that is, you most of the time you feel so crappy you could sleep.
Right.
You could take some NyQuil, you could take whatever, some you know, some medicine and try to sleep. You can't sleep when you're sick. Yeah. Your body's twitching, you're shaking, and that's the worst, because not only are you trying to get through one day, and then you're like, I could sleep for 12 hours and then I have to just go through, okay, this is going to be over in 10 days. It's not that, because I feel like you're sick all day, but you're sick all night and you're awake for it. So right. the days aren't 12, 10 hour days, they're 24 hour days almost. I remember I didn't sleep for like, besides passing out from exhaustion for like 20 minutes here or there. I remember one time I was so sick for days and I didn't sleep for like 3 days, like besides 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there. Like it's horrible. It really is horrible. Anyway, but thank goodness it's been like July, August, September, October. Yeah. So 13 years and 3 months for me.
That's awesome, so, Jay. That's so awesome. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
you. And you've got kids, you're married, you're doing great. Every time I see you, you're doing great. Yeah, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I have the 8 year old. So I have an 8 year old daughter. We have an 8 month old boy. It's been interesting. And yeah, Jordan and I have been together 17 years, which is crazy almost. Here's the whole, I don't know if this will come through, but there's the whole family right there.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man.
Mommy, daughter, and baby boy. There's a little bit of a glare, but yeah. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. And same for you too. It's crazy how things end up so many, and it's been so many years. I was thinking about it. Someone today at Starbucks even was like, yo, dude, congrats on, I think he said, right? So 1995, we're going in almost 25 years, right? It's in 23 years.
28 since, years old.
Yeah, 20 years, sorry.
28 years old. That's insane.
That's what he said, 20. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And that's what he was saying to me. He said 29, but I'm like, I think it's 27 or 8, but yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. And it's great, man. It's crazy that we've known each other that long.
Yeah. It is so, because when we met, we were 10 plus years younger than that movie is old now. Like we like 28 years is so long. We're going to blink. It's going to be 35 years. You know what I mean?
I know. It's crazy.
What's going to happen at the Mallrats like 50th anniversary?
I'm hoping Kevin keeps saying he has written a Mallrats too.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping by at least the 30 year anniversary. So that's 2 years. I'm hoping it happens before.
That would be awesome.
If 30 years, we do two Mallrats too.
Yeah.
Of course, I think it could be fun, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I know he's talked about that. We've done Jay and Bob reboot. We've done Clerks 2 and 3.
Yeah.
I think it's possible. Little Mallrats.
I think it would be incredible and people really want to see it. It's bizarre for a movie that was not successful at all when it came out to have as much success as Mallrats has had since then.
And it's a DVD, right? And it's like, and that's the other thing. It's like, what a different world now. I mean, that was the good thing back then. It seemed like DVDs for us, for the movies, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, all the Dogma and everything came out. It's like came out, didn't do great in the box office. Not a lot of people saw it. But then when it hit DVD, it was, so that was awesome. But so we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I don't know. So
all right. What's the story you were going to tell?
I know. Now you're ready, huh?
Now I'm ready. I'm lubed up.
You're lubed up. So, I wish being that my brain, don't remember every single detail, what, like you said, what year it was, whatever. But something that's, I remember at one point, I believe this is before, it definitely had to be, I believe, before you started getting into it. I was staying at your house. You let me stay at your house. I was really sick, right? And I remember reaching out, and maybe this is when I had told you, I think I had stayed at the hotel, asked you, you didn't know anybody and you're like, yo, I don't mess with that and everything. And I think the next day you were going to drive me to the airport. So you said, let me stay at your house. And I wound up finding somebody who could get dope. And I was like, all right, they found dope. And it was tar. So I had never really messed with the stuff out there and it was tar.
Right.
So I got this tar. I didn't really know how to do it. And I didn't have a syringe. And I know it's sort of gross, but I didn't have a syringe. And I wind up asking the guy and he's like, I'll bring you some. He brought me some, but he brought me like, you know, I forget the gauges, but like, I think the normal for doing dope is like 1 cc because it's really tiny.
Yeah.
This was like a 3 cc. Like
a shot at a doctor's.
Yes, like a big fat one. And I remember being super sick and I was at your house and I like brought it in with me and I felt horrible and everything. And you're like, listen, man, I hope you didn't bring anything in my house or anything like that. I'm like, I won't do that, man. I won't do that. But I was in your bathroom. I'm trying to do stuff. Blood's dripping all over the place because it's so big and it wouldn't fit. And then I didn't know what to do. And I'm wiping it up and it's super gross. It's a gross story. But I just remember feeling as I'm doing it so shitty that like, you know, I'm doing this in your bathroom. You asked me not to bring it in your house. I have it in your house. I'm making a mess. And then you're like, Jay, we got to go. We got to go. I'm like, I'm coming. I'm coming. And I didn't know what to do with it. And I don't know. And again, I don't know. I don't remember exactly what I did, but I feel like I like broke the tip off. And like, what I remember is like trying to break it up and like throwing it in this like plastic cup or something. And then like trying to shove it in your garbage and worrying you were going to find it. And we left and I left it in there. And I remember feeling so shitty about it, but I was so sick. And again, this is something I've never told you and talked about. But it's something I'll never forget. Like it just remember again, what I won't forget is A, trying to do something with this big needle that I should have looked at it and been like, no way. But I still tried like a fool, which made me bleed all over the place. But also just disrespecting your home and your wishes and feeling so shitty about it and just being like, I hope you don't find out. Like, you know what I mean? And again, I don't even know if like maybe you threw the trash away and never saw it. I don't remember if you found it. I mean, I don't know.
I never found it. And all of that seems like par for the course of what you and I were doing back then. Maybe beat me to it by 6 months or a year or something like that, you know, but yeah, it is astonishing as we go through it, you know, through getting sober and being accountable and responsible for our actions and stuff like that and doing a moral inventory and all of that. Like the stuff that turns up for me where I'm going like, oh my God, you know, it's so wild. And I think it shows a lot that you feel the way you feel about that. Mm-hmm. And like, I appreciate you telling me, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I love you and I'm so happy you're healthy today, you know?
Thank you. Well,
yeah, and
same here. Again, I know you talk, like you said, you talk a lot about weight. It's like, I feel like I've never been where I've been, but being 49 and a dad, like I'm realizing how hard this is to lose. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
the belly, it's like, and I talked to my wife about all the eating better. Like now I'm really trying to be conscious. I mean, she of course is too, cause she's like, look, but having kids, it's like, I told her the other day, I was just thinking, I went and visited a friend who him and I used to like eat crappy and get high together too. And he's doing so well. And he's like talking about longevity and he has a 6 month old baby and all this stuff. And he really made me sit and like, not that my wife makes me think all the time too, but I feel like sometimes when she tells me, it's like, stop nagging me, you know, but I know it's coming from a great place, but after, you know, with her and him, I'm like, you know, it's right. It's like, my son's only 8 months. And if I want to, you know, I have to wait 17 years to see him graduate, which would be amazing for me. I got to make it 17 years. Like my cholesterol, my sugar, all this stuff that like, I'm really starting more and more to get concerned about. And again, I'm realizing more and more where, like, if I got a belly from eating a lot, like, I feel like if I just stopped eating so bad, like, it would start to, like, go away. Yeah. It's not going away. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's definitely, it's tough. And again, I know Kevin used to say all the time, he's like, he didn't understand the addiction with the drugs. He'd be like, I don't understand. But when he really started trying to lose weight and caring, he said, now I understand. It's like the same thing. It's like food's an addiction too. And it's like the sugar and the withdrawals from the sugar and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like all of it is all the same. You know, I mean,
it's so weird too, Jay, because like with drugs, like your story is a kind of a great example of this, where like, I don't know if they're easier now. I feel like I see it a little bit more than I did 5 years ago. Drug deals are kind of more open. Certainly in Los Angeles, people are using drugs more openly. And I have, a lot of strange ideas that like sticking somebody in jail for drug use is pointless. Like, I don't see how that helps anybody. Drugs are prevalent in jail. And like, what's the problem here we're actually trying to solve? Anyway, drugs are not super easy to get. Like,
ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
If I today have no idea where to go get drugs at. Like, yeah, I just don't know. I'm removed from that. However, I can walk for 5 minutes and get any of the types of foods that are super delicious, very inexpensive, that I love to eat all the time. They're at everywhere. If I leave my house, anywhere I go is going to have that food. It's going to be in my face. There's billboards for it. So it does become complicated when we're super accustomed to eating in a certain way to try to make changes and avoid some of the things that we really enjoy that kind of make up the fabric of our life. You know, it's really hard.
It is. And I tell my, like, what's funny being with my wife, even stuff like growing up for me, it was like milk does the body good. And here, have a glass of orange juice. It's vitamin C. It's good for you. But, you know, all of a sudden I'm drinking a big glass of orange juice and then later drinking more. And she's like, you got it. That's a lot of orange juice. I'm like, it's good for me. Right. And she's like, no, there's lots of sugar in it, you know? And it's like all these things that, like, even that, it's like trying to adjust my upbringing and what I used to think is like orange juice. And then, all right, I'm going to eat this. This is good. Like, you know, wheat bread with whatever. There's everything. It's not like you said, getting tasty snacks is tough, but even like some of the stuff I eat, like, I'm like, I'm going to have this big bowl of salad and it's going to be good for me, but let me throw in, you know, let me put some salt on it and some egg. Anyway, just everything I feel like has to be. And that's what I tell all the time. I was like, if someone could make me, like, prep me something that's somewhat tasty, right, and be like, eat this, eat this in the afternoon, eat this. And as see, I'm a big snacker too. Like my thing right now is yogurt, this vanilla yogurt, and this granola I found called Cinnabon. And it tastes like cinnamon. Oh my gosh, it's so good. But even to her, I'm like, I'm eating yogurt and granola. That's good, right? But the problem is I'm eating a bowl, no exaggeration, like this big of it, and putting all this granola on it because it's so good. Anyway, so it's really tough, man. And
it's tough, but I also think to what you're saying, Jay, is like there's so many rules now. Like we hear all these rules where it's like, okay, I agree. Drinking gallons of orange juice, that is a lot of sugar. Like I wouldn't drink any orange juice. But if you take a person who's living off mostly soda pop, maybe switching over to orange juice is better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
if
we fall into these caves where it's like you can't even put salt on your salad. And I feel like what can happen is we set out with the intention of like, I'm going to make improvements. And then we get these like really hard rules, which are like, well, now you can't have anything. Like salt on a salad is bad and orange juice is bad. And I think like just being somewhat more moderate for a guy like you who you know, I look at you, you look very healthy to me. Just being a little bit more moderate would probably make a world of difference rather than like getting so like, you know. Your yogurt and Cinnabon
isn't bad.
It's
right?
Probably not as bad as like Frosted Flakes, you know?
Yeah. No, definitely. I believe it is, but it is, again, it's like you said, I agree with that. It's like, I feel like if I'm going up here, if I just bring it down even that much,
it's an improvement.
Definitely. Yeah. So.
I think about like people who live on fast food and it's like, okay, can you just switch out one meal for not fast food before you make this huge 360 that is going to be hard to maintain? You know, I don't know. Small improvements. Jay, we're going on a cruise together.
Yes. I'm so excited. I really am excited about it. I've never been on a cruise. I've never been on a cruise. And not only do we get to go from Miami to Bahamas, you know, it's like, you're going to be there. Lee's going to be there. Kevin, Jeff and Brian, and like all these events. Cause again, I don't, like you said, we're sober. So like, I feel like most cruises I hear about, it's like we were, and we're married, we have kids. It's like, we were in the hot tub all night with these girls and we were
hammered, free booze. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it doesn't seem that appealing to me besides the like Miami to Bahamas part of it. But this should be fun because, again, there's going to be live music. There's going to be like tournaments for, poker giveaways and stuff. Stand-up comedy. Excuse me. Stand-up comedy. I'm doing my J Muse and Amusing Stories, which I've been touring for a couple years now. It's me telling stories on stage. And so I guess it's stand-up comedy, but it's really me telling stories. Kevin's doing a bunch of his podcasts. We're going to have movies pop up. I think it's going to be fun, dude. And again, I get to spend, like, usually when we see each other, we get to see each other for a few hours working on this or doing this. We're going to get to spend, like, 3 days just chilling.
Three whole days. Is movies, that's a burger, right?
Yeah, it's the fake restaurant.
It's a plant burger. Oh, no, it's a real burger.
Well, movies is the restaurant Kevin made up for all the movies, not right. All the movies, but for Strikes Back and Clerks 2. And yeah, the movies is the cow. And but there's burgers that are like the cock smoker, which is a chicken sandwich. Right. The movies, I forget what the double burger, but there is the Beyond or Impossible Burger. That's
but they do have a beef burger. I'm gonna eat a beef burger.
Yeah,
like I'm planning my next cheat meal, and it's for February, and I'm gonna eat a Moobies burger. I can't wait.
Love that. Yes, yeah. And they have you can get it, and it has a bunch of stuff. They have hater tots, you know, which are tater tots, but they're so good. They're really tasty. So yeah, there's gonna be the pop up. Kevin's bringing a museum, and it's February 23rd to the 26th. Of next year. I think it's going to be great, man. And and I don't know if you're supposed to mention it or I can mention that we're going to be doing a giveaway okay. here on the yeah.
Let's hear so, about, yes,
yeah. Let's it. Hear. Yes. All right. So, Jay and Silent Bob present Cruise Askew. The dates are sailing February 23rd, 26th from Miami to Nassau, Bahamas. We're giving away one balcony cabin. Accommodates two guests. Travel to from port is not included, though. So you got to get to Miami and back. And then you go to schooner, S-C-H-O-O-N-E-R dot T-B-I-T-S, T-Bits dot me. So schooner to enter. And the winner will be selected in 4 weeks. But if you want to buy a cabin, you go to cruiseaskew.com, cruiseaskew.com for tickets. But yes, to enter to win, 4 weeks, a lucky winner will get a balcony cabin, schooner, S-C-H-O-O-N-E-R dot T-B-I-T-S dot me. And I'm excited, man. Again, it's like, so, you know, so we're giving away this cabin, the balcony room, and we're going to have like, there's going to be a, you know, a bunch of pools. What it reminds me of when we shot Mallrats, one of the funnest things that, the funnest, is that right? What I had so much fun besides filming the movie is we would all go to the hotel we were staying at. Yeah. And we'd all hang out in the lobby and in the bar and chat, hang out like a bunch of the cast.
It was like a clubhouse. It was
it
awesome.
It really was.
We would eat breakfast together, dinner. Yes. We would go in the hot tub. There's a picture of us all in yes. the hot tub. And that, you know, like somebody could think like that was very staged, but that was like every night or at least really on the weekends was just sitting in the hot tub. And I want to say about the cruise too, Kevin did promise me there would be lots of protein and a gym. So like, if that's a concern yes. for anyone, there will be lots of protein yeah. and a gym. I'm excited. I've never done a cruise like this either.
No, it'll be fun. And the boat looks nice. I mean, when you go on and go to get tickets, even if you want to just check out the boat, I mean, yeah, there's pools and hot tubs and a gym. I think we'll have a blast again. It'll definitely be something different because, again, yeah. I've not been on it. So definitely get it. If you get a chance, man, whoever's watching and you can come out and check it out. It'll be fun. So,
yeah. And there will be many, many more stories similar to the one, or if not, maybe funnier and not as sweet and about yeah. recovery. But maybe yes. there'll be some of that, too. But it will be a good time. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, it's cool. My buddy AJ is going to be doing comedy there and my friend Jake, and they're really funny, two funny dudes. Again, there's going to be stand-up comedy and podcasts. So I just feel like the good thing about this cruise, like I was saying, it's not just like, hey, there's going to be some music and there's drinking. It's like there's going to be podcasting and music, and there'll be I feel like there's always going to be something to do on the boat. That's yeah. going to be like something that you could sit and laugh about and hang out. I'm not saying there won't be drinks on the boat or whatever, but
right for the people who want a booze cruise, it will also be yeah. that if that's what they want to yes. do.
Totally.
There will be, it's not totally. Right why we make it out to be, yeah. it's just sober. It's a sober cruise. They will serve tea and Diet Coke.
Yes. Yes. and there'll be meetings all day and night. No, I'm sure they have. I know they have those too. I didn't realize they do so many cruises. I've been hearing about all sorts of cruises going on. And I think it'll be fun. It's funny because a cruise, two things I've wanted to do, I've told the wife for years now, is like, man, I've never been on a cruise. I want to go on a cruise before I knew this was going to happen. And the other thing, it's goofy, but I don't know why I really feel like I got to experience this at some point.
Right.
Is I've been really wanting to stay like there's not many places that have them, but you know, like there's the hotels that are in the water.
Yeah.
Like you got to walk on a dock and your room is on the water and you can look through a glass floor and see fish. And yeah. I don't know why I've always wanted to stay in one of those rooms.
I stayed in one of those in the Maldives, and it was yes. awesome, Jay. It was insane. You got to do it. I don't think they have that in the Bahamas.
No, yeah, I think, sorry, it's, I think it's like, yeah, not, there's like Bora Bora,
yeah,
Maldives. That's what I mean. There's not many places, and we've been looking into it, and we were thinking about maybe doing it for my 50th birthday.
You gotta do it. It's, yeah, unreal, dude.
Did you, yeah, so did you go for like a few nights and you were staying in the room and it's, yeah.
Yeah. I hear, but you know, the thing like with me, Brandy gets seasick and she can take a little bit of the beach, but I can go to the beach and be there all day, every day. And especially if there's like water activities, I can do that for a, yeah, month. We once went with, when the girls were very little, I think Clementine was 3. The big girls were like 9 and 11, and Grace, mm, was a little 3-month-old baby. And we went to a place in Maui called Hana, where there's like, no, it's super remote. There's no TVs in any of the rooms. And all you do is like nature stuff and beach stuff. And yeah, I kept, yeah, extending our trip. And finally, Brandy was like, I want to go home. I want a television. Like, I want to be home. But we stayed there, yeah, for like a month. I can do that shit too.
That's,
and
awesome.
And that happened to her on the Maldives. You know, you're on like a, you're on an island that's very, yeah, small, yeah, that you can walk around in a couple of hours. And then your room is on the water, literally like over the water. Yeah. And all you're doing is swimming and kayaking and jet skiing and snorkeling and eating, basically. And after, mm-hmm, a few days of that, Brandy was like, get me the fuck out of here. I want some cell service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's, yeah, fun.
Yeah. So eventually, I think we're going to eventually do that. So, but we got the cruise. Eventually I'm going to do that. So it's been cool, man. It's having the kids. And again, you have more than I have. It's just like nonstop. I realize,
yeah,
it's like activities and all the things that that break my heart that I didn't realize would bother me. Like, I remember like last year, my daughter at camp, one of her best friends that she was hanging out with like every day for like months, all of a sudden just stopped talking to her. Didn't, yeah, want to hang out with her. And she called me up crying. Pick me up from camp, daddy, pick me up. And I pick her up. I go, oh my God, what's wrong? What's wrong? She's like, she won't talk to me. She just won't talk to me. I was like, well, maybe she's upset today. She's like, no, you don't understand. The next day, same thing. And it broke my heart, and, yeah, it really did. And I didn't realize how much it would affect me. And I'm like, I'm going to talk to her parents and we're going to, and I'm like, and my wife's like, no, you're going to stay out of it and stuff. Right. But it's like, I had no idea how much things that bother the kids like affect you. And so, yeah, it is
a crazy trip having kids, man. It's a whole different thing. You know, like I got sober prior to having, mm-hmm, kids, and but I do think like I like my life so much more being responsible for somebody else, yeah, than just having to worry about myself. It takes so much pressure off me, you know, like,
yeah,
it's like one of those things like they tell you on in the airplane, like you put your mask on first so that, yes, you're good to put their mask on. And, mm-hmm, like, you got to do that. You got to take care of yourself so that you can care for your kids. And, mm-hmm, and it's like just a little, I don't know if it's biological, but a built-in resource for staying clean,
yeah,
trying to maintain my weight, being healthy, going to the gym. Like every day I go to the gym and I think this is going to make me a better dad because it's going to clear my head and I'm going to be able to communicate with my kids better. And like, yeah, it's all kind of built into that. Being a father is really awesome.
Yeah, definitely. It is, I don't remember. So what happened first for you? I don't remember. Did you get sober and then like right away started the weight?
It was like a year later I got sober, and because you know, like, the drugs, I got diagnosed with congestive heart failure, which was from drug use. And, mm-hmm, so that was going to kill me really fast. And I wasn't even thinking about my weight. I was just, you know, because also like, you don't want to go to rehab or start to do something. And like, I'm going to do everything today. I'm going to eat healthy and I'm going to not do dope and I'm going to, you know, stop smoking. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a recipe for failure. It always, mm-hmm, was for me. And so I got sober. I stayed sober for about a year. And then I like, was like, okay, now I'm going to start to think about my weight. And then even that was difficult because I didn't find a plan that had like long-term success as a part of it built into the plan. I was just like, lose weight and I'll lose 100 pounds and then I'll gain 100 pounds back and go like, why the fuck did I gain this weight back?
Oh yeah. You know? So that did happen. I didn't know that. So in the beginning you did wind up going like down and then went right back up for a minute.
Yeah.
Cause you were saying multiple you didn't have times. A concern. Yeah, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I got down to like 350, then back up to 450. And that was like, and then down to 300 and up to 400. And then at one point I got down to 200 and then all the way back up to 400. So like I did it like three times.
Wow.
Yeah. But I've been the weight I am today. I've been this weight now for 5 years, which is pretty damn good.
That's awesome. Yeah, it is. And it's not even just like, again, I remember seeing you the first time I feel like I had seen you in a while. Was at the, there was a screening or something at the, I forget what theater it was, but you came on a bike.
Yes.
And you were super thin, but you didn't have the muscle and you were thin. I was like, oh my God. Like, so, and then
no, but Jay, from that point, I went back up to 400 pounds.
You did? Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was like 2012, I think, when I showed up on a bike. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then after that, you're like, not only am I going to lose it, I'm going to start lifting and like,
yeah,
that's awesome, man. That's fantastic.
That was around when I started lifting weights, 2012. And then I got really big again. And then it was like, okay, now I want to figure out a way to take off fat, leave muscle and have it last for a long time. And it was not super easy, but also not super complicated.
Of course, no.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Cause then I remember seeing you. So a gentleman invited me to a gym. Remember I ran into you at that gym.
Mike.
And
Mike, yeah, by the way, you know, Mike is threatening to come on the cruise. And if he does, we could totally have a meeting on the cruise.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Hell yeah. I tell him all the time. He's in New York now, right?
I think so. No, yeah.
Yeah. It'll again, the cruise is going to be fun. So definitely we got to make sure. And then I don't know. Have you been doing these every, this is what you do. You're in Florida.
I'm in Florida. I do these once a week, but I go between Florida and New York. We have a place in New York also.
Oh, great. Fantastic. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Very so nice. I see Mike occasionally. All new gyms, none of the old LA gyms. But it's good. Yeah.
Do you and then you gotta make your way. If you're in New York, you gotta make way. Have you gone to the secret stash?
No.
The comic book store in a while,
because
you know it's like it's only like an hour. Well, depending where you're in the city, it's about an hour and a half or so. It would be awesome if you came in there because Mike. Well, it'd be cool because you could see everything. But the dude,
and there's
Mike,
a
who
movie
runs
theater,
it now,
right?
There's yes, a movie and a, out Kevin there too? Has a theater in Atlantic Highlands. Yeah, so there's Atlantic Highlands. There's a theater Kevin bought where we grew up. That was the movie theater we went to as kids. So that's pretty cool. And Kevin's been doing events there. Like he'll show Mallrats and then afterwards do a Q&A with some people. And then he has auctions and podcasts there and everything. And then the stash is in Red Bank, which is just like 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, we're going to be there. Excuse me, December, like the second week of December, I'll be going back to the stash. Kevin and I are doing an event because a bunch of new pops are coming out for us.
Those are the little characters, right?
Yeah, like the where I had one right here. Where the heck did it go? But yeah, they're the little Funkos. I'm gonna find them right here. Yeah, I'll show you. This isn't ours, but this, it's so funny because you know I do comic book conventions sometimes. I go and hang out and stuff. And I'm a huge fan of this show. And this gentleman was there signing stuff. And I didn't want to go up to him because I felt awkward being like, oh, my God, I love your stuff. My buddy told him, he goes, when you see, because he happened to be at the bar eating and having some drinks. And he sat next to him. And he goes, look, I don't want to bother you. But, you know, Muse is a huge fan. And tomorrow would be awesome if you just went up to him and gave him a hug and be like, what's up, bro? And he did that. And I was like, Oh, hey, buddy. And anyway, so this gentleman right here, so from Smallville.
Yeah.
Tom Welling, who plays Clark yeah. Kent. But this is the Funko, and he winded up giving me and signing Clark Kent Funko for me.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
But it was funny because, again, when I go there, it's like you walk in a green room and it's like Bruce Campbell, William Shatner and Tom Welling. And it's like I'm always like in the green room grabbing at like water, and I'll look around. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go. I still don't feel comfortable like sitting at a table being like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Yeah, what's up? Yeah. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
I don't either. I walk in there and want to get my stuff and get out before somebody kicks me out. That's my feeling every time.
Right? You feel like you still can get kicked out and stuff. Yeah. It's funny because I've been riding this. I have a piece of luggage that it's a scooter. And I bring it to all the conventions and I drive around the conventions. And it was so awesome because I realized I went in the green room and I felt awkward, but all of a sudden it was like, hey, and I look over at William Shatner's like, where'd you get that? And I was like, but at first I was like, I thought he was going to kick me out or something. I was like, what? And he's like, where'd you get that? And he's like, can I feel it? Is it heavy? And he like picked up the thing and stuff and started chatting with me. And that was awesome. And then like the next day I'm driving down the thing. He's like, all of a sudden Vincent D'Onofrio, who I'm a huge fan of, love Law and Order, Criminal Intent. And of course him as the kingpin, but I'm driving. He goes, hey, I love that thing, man, but we're always passing by one another. And I'm like, yeah, hey, buddy. And like, I was like, you know what I mean? I don't know what to say. I'm like, oh, but it was awesome. Again, those are a lot of fun too, going to those. But yeah, it's weird because I still feel awkward in those situations. So
yeah, yeah. It's a lot since, when did Mallrats come out? 1995? Or no, yeah, but even before that, Jay, Clerks, when was that? 93?
Yeah, Clerks was, 94 Clerks came out. Like, yeah, okay. It was filmed before that, but I think it came out in 94.
Yeah.
It came out in theaters and stuff, but it didn't get wide release. And then we went and did Mallrats.
Yeah.
But yes, it's been forever.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, dude.
It's been forever. And they made you audition to play yourself in Mallrats.
Yes.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a
weird experience. I think Seth Green and Breckin Meyer were up for the part of you.
Yeah. Seth Green. As far as I know, I think Seth Green was sort of the thing. Cause I tell that every once in a while, Kevin and I will be up on stage doing our podcast. And what he tells that, he's like, look, the studio was like, I didn't even get like where everyone else got brought out to Minnesota. They paid for their room, their flights to rehearse and all of that. I had to go out and rehearse, sleep on Kevin's floor. And Kevin had to pay for my flight to get out there because they're like, we're not going to pay for him. He's never been in, you know, he has no experience, no training, no nothing. And we want Seth Green.
Right.
And but there are Kevin's like fighting like, no, like the character's based on him. So they're like, well, you have to pay for him. So they're like, their thing was, we're going to be there the first day of filming. And if we even get a hint that he can't handle it, we're pulling in Seth and we're sending Jason. You have to send Jason home.
Yeah.
And thank goodness the first scene I filmed was the here kitty 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 kitty, the, you know, and I'm like, Brody man, new genie. Yeah. And then the one, and then when I'm like, do it, Doug. and luckily after that, they were there, they watched it, and then they sent the dailies to the studio and stuff, and they were like, okay, good. Yeah. But yeah, like what a weird thing. I always tell people, like, can you imagine if I messed it up and then Seth Green was there and stuff? And all right. And no Funkos for Muse. It would be like Seth and Bob. It's such an interesting, it is so interesting because you wonder too, if like after Mallrats, if he was Jay, I wonder if Kevin's like, we're going to do Chasing Amy. Will you be in it, Seth? Right. Seth, will you do Dogma? Seth, will you do, you know what I mean? Like, or would he be like, no, I was only going to do the one and I'm done. You know, it's so interesting.
It's crazy, man.
But that was my first time ever to California, was the auditions.
Yeah.
And I just remember landing and being like, I only knew California from like Beverly Hills Cop and 90210 and stuff. And just being like, whoa, this is amazing. You know what I mean? Like it was really cool. And they put me up in the like Universal Hilton. Yeah. So it was like right there at Universal Studios. And
stuff. The auditions were right at the bottom of the hill, same hill. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Those were particularly odd auditions. You think about the way auditions work, and if anybody like had filmed that process and said, this is a typical LA audition, it's really weird.
And again, I didn't know any better. To me, that was normal. And I remember like walking down the hallway and Lee was pacing over there, reading his thing. And over here was like Breckin Meyers and Jennifer Jason Lee. What was her
Jennifer
name?
Love Hewitt.
Yes. Jennifer Love Hewitt. And, you know, Kevin Connolly, it was like crazy. It was like everyone was there, dude, like auditioning and everyone's sitting, reading their script and stuff. But I didn't know any better.
There was pizza around.
I had no idea that was not that, because again, I didn't know any better. I remember it too. You bringing me, it was so awesome. You brought me, I got to come and hang on, which I almost forgot this. When you did that show, what was the show you did? What was the,
not Boy Meets World, Boy Meets
World. That one.
Yeah, Boy Meets World.
You brought me to the set there. And I know it's so long ago. You're like, wait, not that. But yeah, I remember bringing, and that was the first set I ever been to. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy.
and we had just done a movie.
Yeah. But it seems so, like, again, everything was so new and cool to me. And again, it was cool because you would bring me around. I had someone to hang with and meeting your parents and stuff. It was a good time.
Mm-hmm. Jay, I love you. I'll see you in February. I can't wait for this cruise. It's going to be the best.
All right. So guys, again, really quick before I go to Schooner, schooner.tbits.me. You guys could win one balcony cabin. It accommodates two. And there's no travel to Miami or back home, but it's from Miami to Nassau, Bahamas, February 23rd to the 26th. Check it out. You could win that. And if you want to buy tickets, go to cruisesq.com to get tickets, check out the boat and all that. Dude, I love you, bro. Thank you. I can't wait to see you, man, on the cruise. Get to hang out for not just like 4 hours, but like 3 days. I'm going to harass you the whole time.
Yeah, I can't wait. And maybe I'll work out with you. We're going to work out.
Yes, seriously, bro.
And eat lots of protein and one burger.
Look at this little baby, dude. I'm losing it.
All right, Mia. See you later.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
And now for the Q&A.
Today's question comes from Caitlin.
Hi, Caitlin.
She says, hey, Ethan, big fan of the show. Mid-30s mom of two little humans. I have a goal to lose 75 pounds. She says, I have been successful with weight loss in the past, but nothing has stuck. I am fairly active, but struggle with overeating. You speak about how your mindset about food has changed over the years. Did that occur for you naturally, or did you do some kind of therapy to help facilitate this?
No, I didn't do any specific therapy. And I guess it did happen naturally. It didn't happen overnight. It was a lot of, there was a lot of effort put into it. I think probably because I'm sober, I will try to recognize and be aware of compulsions when they come up for me. And so I'll try to think them through and maintain a hold on my desire to not act on my compulsions. And, you know, having said that, there are still times where I'll go out and go like, I'm going out to dinner with my wife, and my hard and fast rule now when I go out to dinner is I'm just not going to overeat. And there will be times where I'll find myself like, you know, almost in a trance, just shoveling food into my mouth way past the point of full, like having no idea when I blew past the point of being full, just compulsively eating. And I'll kind of have to catch myself and go like, oh, my God, what's happened here? So it's not even completely resolved. I don't know that it will ever be resolved. I don't know that that will ever disappear from me. It's just something I've gotten better and better at catching earlier. And I limit the amount of times that I'm presented with food that would be a problem if I overate it. I can overeat broccoli, you know, that I just never want to, unless it's, you know, covered in cheese. But if I prepare my if I steam my broccoli or even cook it in a pan with no oil or like 1/4 second spray of, you know, aerosolized olive oil on the pan just so it doesn't stick or tarnish the pan, I'm just not going to overeat that. I'm not going to overeat grilled fish. I'm not going to overeat chicken breasts. I'm going to have a hard time really even overeating lean ground beef. Or celery sticks. Plain white rice I might be able to overeat. So that I like actively count for myself. Like I have gotten pretty darn good at eyeballing a cup of white rice when I have that. But so that was the, kind of the first step for me is like distance myself from foods that I would have the proclivity to overeat. And recognizing, you know, like I don't demonize monosodium glutamate, but there is for sure something it does where it masks satiety. So if you have that in a food, it's actually not gonna like allow you to feel full. Like Doritos are full of MSG because you'll just keep eating them. You just won't get full. Certain types of food where you have MSG in it, like that's one of the things that MSG really does is it disguises satiety. It's also makes food unbelievably delicious. So maybe if your food is unbelievably delicious, you're more apt to overeat it anyway. Mm-hmm. I can for sure overeat pizza and cheeseburgers and French fries. Those are very easy to overeat. So I almost never eat them. You know, that's kind of the way it goes. I do believe in moderation, but I also like am aware that there's going to be stuff for me that I'm not going to have an easy time putting the spoon or fork down. And so I just try to keep my distance from that as much as possible. But, you know, while I say that, I'm not like an absolutist. I'll have a couple dashes of toasted sesame seed oil. I will occasionally eat all this stuff and I don't want to think of it as bad or off limits. But when I do, I am way more cautious, way more cautious. I could cook 2 pounds of broccoli. I'm not going to overeat it. But if I prepare 2 pounds of pasta and add meat sauce and Parmesan cheese, I'm not going to sit down with that in front of me because that's risky.
Mm-hmm. That makes so much sense. I like your point of like distancing yourself from those things. That's actually super helpful.
Yeah, I don't think I have great willpower at a drive-thru. And so I don't go to drive-thrus. You know, there was always like a little bit of humiliation for me about walking into a fast food restaurant and ordering food. I don't eat fast food at all anymore. But if I did, like, I would have some rules. I would know what I'm going to order before I go. And I wouldn't go to the drive-thru because the drive-thru has some anonymity and I can just like pretend the person's not staring at me and I'm not, you know, people can't see me in my car. And there's all these shields in place to block people from seeing what I'm really doing.
Yeah.
You know, who knows if that's going to be workable for Caitlin, but that those are kind of the ways I tried to tackle this problem. I really did try to tear it apart and find out what was occurring before I woke up having overeaten, you know, and I don't mean going to sleep, but I mean almost like a lapse of awareness, you know, where 1 minute I'm cognizant and the next minute I'm realizing I've just overeaten. And like, so with stuff like ice cream, I'm not going to pretend I'm going to eat a third of a pint of ice cream. I'm going to find a pint of ice cream that has, you know, a fraction of the calories, and I'm going to be okay with eating the whole thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Caitlin, thank you for your question. If you have a question you would like Ethan to answer on the podcast, you can email it to us at americanglutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee. You can follow us on Instagram at American Glutton Podcast. Sincerely.